Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, bringing you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Friday, December 20th, 2013. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. What a day it's been at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I want to thank each and every one of you who make your orders here with Discount Gold and Silver Trading for supporting all the programs that we support. And you're certainly helping to educate many, many folks out there by supporting Discount Gold and Silver Trading. So we do want to thank you for that. And just to give you a holiday update on the radio programs, I'm going to be bringing the market updates on Monday, but we will be playing rebroadcasts. They will be rebroadcasts of this week's radio programs. So, and then we will be back live Thursday and do a live program Thursday and Friday. And we're going to have sort of the same schedule the following week. And but you always have to tune in and make sure, because we show up at the darndest times, don't we, Al?
Sometimes we do. Wait, if we're going to have something like this the following week, what about the week after that?
No. It's going to be back.
No, not that one. I was liking this. I was thinking, we got ourselves a new system here. This is going to work out well.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what? No, I'm looking forward to 2014. I think it's going to be a very interesting year. And I'm sticking by my predictions. It's going to be an election year. It's going to be all about the elections. Those Democrats are going to get in, and Katie bar the door. And I think you're going to see things. They're doing a lot of things. We're going to talk about Obama's little speech this afternoon, but let's first get to the markets for today. You have gold up $14. We said yesterday that's probably what the type of turnaround that you're going to see. 1202. We had a high of 1208, but we're looking at 1202. Silver was up 13 cents today at 1948. Platinum was up 13 at 1338. And we also have palladium treading higher, $2 at 703. The USDX is the same as it was yesterday. That didn't move at all. Don't know why that market hasn't traded today. 0.06 at 80.05. And crude oil, pretty much on 99. It went over 99, up 10 cents at $99 a barrel. And the paper markets today, What do you want to bet that they did a record close? Oh, yeah. Another record. Woohoo. The Dow up 42 points at 16,221. NASDAQ up 46 at 4104. S&P up 8 at 1818. And the 10-year yield backed off a little bit today, down 0.04 at 2.89%. And pretty much there was they changed the GDP. I mean, it was just something totally stupid. And, you know, kind of like before the election a year ago when they dropped the percentage rate on the unemployment for something stupid. And everybody knew it was, you know, that can't be real. Well, they kind of did the same thing on the GDP. They did some revisions, and I think the number I saw was over 4%. And it's and a lot of my reports out today that I was looking at, it shows a breakdown on the different states and their unemployment. And it's interesting. I don't know why today of all days, but, you know, they listed just about every state, and they're showing a significant drop in unemployment. So I don't know why everybody's up in an uproar. If unemployment is dropping so much, then why is everybody so concerned about the unemployment insurance running out at the end of December? You think, you know, it's like, well, who cares?
Yeah, if happy days are really here again, why isn't everybody happy? And in fact, why do we have to take care of a bunch of people who aren't all that happy? You know, and it's easy to make fun of these things, but the reality is, despite making fun of at some of the government numbers, the government is lying about these things. They're falsifying the numbers in order to create a false confidence, an exaggerated confidence. And that's the sort of, when you see it and you understand it, you sit back and what does that mean? It means that the reality is not anywhere near as good. If they have to lie, it means there is a dangerous reality out here that is at least perilous to all of us, and we should prepare for it. Not that we're going to see that danger, not that it's necessarily going to take place, but if it's serious enough where the government feels compelled to continue to lie about these circumstances, it means, look, we are not out of the woods. And so you should be prepared as best you can for whatever difficulties may be ahead of us.
The revised GDP for the third quarter was 4.1%. And they owe it all to the a little bit of consumer spending, commercial real estate, industrial equipment, intellectual property like software. So that seems like
it's just astonishing that now it went up by 4.1%. I thought it was going to collapse because of the government shutdown. Didn't that do enormous damage?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you hear from them, oh, the government shutdown did all the damage. And then later they revised the numbers. Oh, no, it didn't do all that much damage after all.
Well, that was in September or October?
It was third quarter.
Third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
September, yeah.
So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about third quarter right now.
But you know what's interesting is I'm looking at the numbers for all the quarters from the third quarter in 2011, and it's certainly not any steady type of economy. I mean, it goes from the third quarter in 2011 was 1.4%. The fourth quarter in 2011 was 4.9%, and then it continued to drop. You have a little bump and drops big. And then it was just building its way up a little bit to this third quarter. So it'll be interesting to see what the fourth quarter reads, because we just can't imagine how it can be stronger based on holiday reporting, any of the stats that have been released so far.
Well, that's because you just lack the sort of imagination that people with imagination can go a long way in the Bureau of Labor Statistics and in the government statistical office or statistical offices and so on, if you have a little imagination to back up your statistical knowledge, there's people in Washington are looking for you. So,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's not amazing. It's just it's frustrating. It's annoying. What gets me about it, what bothers me about it, is I want to see the people who are responsible for the manipulation and for the lies. I want to see them take it in the neck. You understand? I want to see these people stopped. I don't care if it's good for me or it's bad for me on a personal level. I don't care if my wealth goes up, my wealth goes down. But I would like to just have the satisfaction of seeing the people that are responsible for the lies and manipulation to pay a serious penalty. That's what I'd like to see. And that would, that would be one of those moments where I would sit back and say, yay, the bad guys finally got their due. That's what bothers me about it, because what we see is unjust. You know, I saw a headline. Ron Paul was recently quoted talking about the government and the banks and whatever. They've manipulated the economy and they've caused distortions. Right? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about distortions in the economy. And that was the word he used, or at least the newspaper used. These are not distortions. These are incidents of theft. All right? These are no more distortions than 20 guys or 5 guys or however many bust into the local bank, tell everybody to hit the floor, and they rob the bank. And you can sit back and say, well, we have an economic distortion at the bank today. No, you didn't. You had a robbery. These are not simple distortions. You say a distortion, and the word connotates something neutral. All right? We had a distortion. It's like the waves were a little higher than we expected on the ocean today. It's a distortion, but no, that's not what we're dealing with. We are dealing with some very wealthy, powerful people who are able to manipulate the system in a way where they are able to take the wealth of other individuals. It's not a distortion, it's a robbery. That's what we're talking about. And it's perpetrated by the government, perpetrated by the Federal Reserve, perpetrated by the big banks on Wall Street. They all participate in it. They grin. They laugh. They bribe the congressmen. They pass laws to say that it's okay. But the truth of the matter is these distortions, robberies.
Well, you know, Al, some folks that would say, you know, it's life. It happens. That's the way of the world. It has been since day one, and it always will be. You will have the rich and powerful who take from the ones that are less fortunate. That's the way of the world.
Yeah, they've got a point. I mean, I understand that, but also I understand that periodically people get tired of being robbed. Periodically, the people that are perpetrating these robberies finally go too far. They are so arrogant and so indifferent to the rest of the people. They go, oh, yeah, we've got it all under control. Every so often, it doesn't happen frequently, but it happens. Where all of a sudden, they're made to pay for their arrogance. And it would please me to see it happen. All right? I'm not saying I'm going to see it happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But it does this, it just irritates me, the injustice. And it's just perpetrated and goes on and on and on. And they don't even, you know, we've got an article.
Well, it used to be they actually robbed from one another. I mean, when the stock market was created, it wasn't for people. It was for the wealthy. You know, you had to be wealthy to get in there. It wasn't middle class, was never in the stock market. Certainly people weren't putting in their last $1,000 in the stock market and hoping they'd get rich. It was for the wealthy. And it traded back and forth and they took each other's money back and forth. It was a game. It's considered a game. Now, I think the problem is America was supposed to be a little bit different. We were supposed to have a set of laws and rules and regulations to protect, to some degree,
the great unwashed when they got into the stock market. So they weren't instantly fleeced of all of their money the first day they were there, and instead our government has thoughtfully passed laws where you won't be fleeced for, who knows, 60 days, 90 days,
that's just,
6 months,
my
or a year.
Point. They're changing the laws. They're changing the country. They're changing in order for their promotion of making their theft legal. And I don't know if I'm saying that, if I'm missing my point or.
Well, this, sometimes it's just confusing, and it's one of those things that's, for me at least, confusing, frustrating, irritating. You just hate to see these people keep getting away with it. That's what bothers me, and like, no one is making a serious effort to make it stop. That's what really aggravates me. Not an effective effort, anyway. It may be that the Tea Party Republicans, I don't know, who knows, maybe they're trying to make it stop. They haven't been particularly successful, but perhaps they're sincere in their attempt to make it stop. But regardless of who's sincere, who's just paying lip service to it, no one has been effective up until now. And I look forward to seeing that. It's something I hope to see. And if I do, I'm going to make my day. Will we see it in 2014, Melody?
No. Hmm? No.
I don't think so, huh?
No.
That's, you have the Obama or the Associated Press. They talked about it briefly. Obama 2014 could be economic breakthrough year. President Obama singles out recent improvements in the economy and says 2014 could be a breakthrough year for the United States. Yeah. Obama highlighted reports Friday that the economy grew at 4.1% annual return from July through September, higher than previously believed. The economic news, while modest, has been a glimmer of light for Obama in an otherwise difficult year. Well, I hope that that 2014 is a breakthrough year for the economy. I hope it is. I would like to see the economy start to do well, prosper. I'd like to see that happen. People start to, you know, pick up and become optimistic and hopeful again. But personally, I don't expect to see a breakthrough year for the United States economy until 2017. Okay, that would be the earliest I expected. That would be the year after the Obama administration is finally out of office. He's gone at the end of 2016. Maybe we'll have a shot at a breakthrough year in 2017, maybe after that. Who knows? Can't give you prophecy, but it's just interesting and even amusing to me. Obama is essentially saying, oh, wait, 2014 could be great. Well, yeah, good. Let's hope it is. But in saying that, he's also saying, let's not even talk about 2013. Let's just write that off. Let's just forget about 2013. For me, it's just another one of these episodes where nobody wants to take responsibility. We're just going to, you know, conceal the problem with false statistics, if that's what's needed, or if that's not needed, we'll just go out and encourage people to forget about that. Don't even think about 2013. You know, the truth of the matter is, how many years out of the Obama administration so far, this would be, what, 5 years we've gone so far that'll be completed with at the end in just another couple of weeks, essentially, 5 years if I, yeah, I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
He's got three more to go. What, 14, 15, and 16? How many out of the 5 years he's had has the economy done well? And he could blame it, and with some reason, he could blame it on Bush to begin with for the early parts, but, you know, we're 5 years into this, and he hasn't been effective. His administration hasn't been effective. Government hasn't been effective at restoring the economy, not to a significant degree. And they've had 5 years to work at it. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm going to sit here and grumble. While we're taking our commercial announcements, I'm going to grumble about what's happening in our government. And why can't we get somebody up there to try to do what's right for the country instead of what's right for the banks and special interests and the government. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom. Be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here at Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Melody, do you have a special for folks for a pre-Christmas special, or is it too late for that now?
I think all orders going in free Silver Eagles. We'll give out a few free Silver Eagles with all orders, so we'll do that today and the next couple of days till Christmas. We will be closing early, though, for Christmas. We'll be closing Tuesday at noon until Thursday. So you got until then, folks.
Okay. Yeah. So a free Silver Eagle with each order. True?
True.
Okay. Good enough. Unless, of course, they only order a Silver Eagle. If they order one Silver Eagle, they don't get a free Silver Eagle to go along with the one they ordered, did they?
They're not going to get a 2-for-1, no.
No. All right.
Shipping will be $100, though.
Yeah, exactly. 2-for-1. 2-for-1, but shipping will be a little bit more expensive than usual.
That's what dealers do. They give away these really low prices on a lot of their coins, and then they charge $100 for shipping. People bite it, you know, because they'll take the price and they'll go shop it. It's like, well, nobody can beat their price, and they get it all locked in. Then they get the shipping, and they end up paying, you know, $50, $60, $80. I've seen shipping, a couple of hundred dollars.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. You know, here's someone makes a significant purchase, and you're charging them another $300-$400 for shipping. I don't get it. I don't understand why people would put up with that. So there's all kinds of baits and switches and lost leads and all kinds of crazy things. They'll post low prices on the internet, but when you really get down to locking in the price and everything, it'll be totally different, and it'll be just the regular price as everybody else's. You know, these guys who say, "Oh, we don't charge interest." I mean, we don't charge commissions. We sell it to you at wholesale. It's like, do people believe this? Obviously, they do, but it just...
Some people do.
Obviously, some
people,
enough to.
Not all people. Most people are, I don't know, I think especially people that are, you know, dealing with investments, they're smarter, hopefully, than you know, the average American who doesn't pay attention to these kinds of things. They're more sophisticated, and they hopefully...
You really think so? I've seen some paper, you know, these stock market companies, these brokerage houses, and some of these emails and so forth that they send. They would confuse anyone. I get, you know, particularly I get from this one company, and every day they have... You know, somebody new with a new recommendation, and they just use all these teasers to get you interested in something. And, you know, I mean, I know what's going on, so I certainly don't fall for it, but they're very, very good. And that's,
you know, what irritates me is you go out and buy yourself some new software and you pay for it. Okay. And then you got your little box. And it's got a little book in it, maybe, and it's got a disc in it. You take it home, and you put it in your computer, and you find out, oh, no. Just because you paid for it, we don't have a deal yet. First, when you get home, you've got to agree to the terms, whatever they are. You agree? We're not going to install the software. I think it should be a rule that every item of software, if you are buying it at the store and you've paid for it there, on the exterior of the package, it should list every additional requirement that will be imposed, including signing up with Google or Microsoft and giving them your name, age, and social security number. I'm exaggerating, but they want all that information as a condition of starting the software that you've already paid for. You shouldn't be able to impose those conditions later on. But what got me just rang my bell on this. Nobody reads, do you agree to the terms of the software installation? There's words to that effect on each one of the programs. Yes or no? I accept, I decline. If you decline, you can't use the program. You got to reach that agreement. Do you know of anyone who has ever read those agreements, Melody?
Can't say as I have.
Jeez, I wonder, what am I agreeing to? You know, sometimes I sit back, you know, one of these days they're going to drag me into court and they're going to crack open my computer and they say, oh, you agreed to this, you agreed to this, you agreed to this, you agreed to this. I don't seriously believe that's going to happen, but it still bothers me. All of these, you were speaking essentially about the legalese that some people incorporate into their notices and their deals when they're selling gold. It's the same thing with this software, or it's something similar with the software. No one really understands what's being said. All they want to do is buy some gold. All right? And the deal is, you got some gold, I have some cash, I'm going to send the cash, you're going to send some gold. Or they'd like to buy some software. I walk into the store. The software says it'll do something I want done. I give them the money. They give me the software. I should be able to just start that up and run it. And the same thing with the gold. It should be simple enough where you don't get sidetracked with all the legalese. All right? What do you want? I want a $20 Liberty. All right?
Well, that's what you get here, discount. You just get the facts. You get the facts of the truth. I don't have time to do all these games and nonsense. But we have a caller that we need to get to.
That's true. Jim's been waiting for a while.
Yes,
Jim, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I don't mind waiting. Now, listen. Melody, you ought to write up a top 10 scams in the metal business. You really should. Because I heard one a few months ago. I don't remember too much. But it had something to do with signing an agreement as opposed to a contract. It was a real mess. Top 10 would be great. I don't know that the laws have changed. And incidentally, I'm getting ready to build another Linux machine. I've read some of these agreements. Time to build another Linux. Okay. I don't know if the laws have changed nearly as much as enforcement. CFTC, the big boys, can get away with anything. Everybody else takes a beating. Securities Exchange Commission, my dad was convinced it was set up in the beginning so the big boys could do whatever they dang well please and find out who owned things, because SEC knows who owns what. So the big boys knew who owned which corporations. Look at John Corzine. Gets away with billions. God help you if you get behind on your property taxes, they'll take your whole everything. So also,
and he didn't just get behind on it. He said, well, we don't know what happened. It was just a mystery. $1 billion disappeared, and golly. And the government goes for that. The government goes for that.
You're not going to believe this, but I got the paperwork to prove it. I paid all our property taxes, but somebody wrecked the accounting at the courthouse. Sold my property on the courthouse steps. I had to buy it back. Full property value. It wasn't worth much, thank God. It's a little cabin in the woods. But I bought it in 77, knowing that I had to go hide somewhere, and so I'm hiding. Incidentally, another thing used to be, if you're an accounting firm, you'd lie, cheat, and steal, they'd string you up by the neck or anything else they'd get a hold of.
Yep.
Not now. And I would look at the Enron scandal. I'm pretty convinced by the middle to late 80s, had to have been close to late 80s, that you could not believe one dang quarterly report or prospectus or anything. Maybe some you could, but I realize that people would pay the accounting firm enough so that, oh, well, if they went belly up, who cares? He who coughs up the biggest batch of money for a report gets has to put up the shiniest report, lies and all. And another thing which blows my mind, and I've known about the corporate nature of government since I was a teenager. Corporations can do secret deals like the city of Charleston, you know, the state of West Virginia. They're corporations. They can do secret deals like the FDA can accept money and sign a secret contract with Big Pharma to do whatever. So, you know, it's not legal for governments to do this, but corporate agencies, corporations can do it. And all these governments are corporations. And not only that, but they can choose to enforce those policies which are profitable to it. But to heck with the ones which aren't profitable to it. So this.
What do you think is the common denominator? You know, you and I agree that there's been an increase, or we apparently agree that there's been an increase in overt corruption in government. That's an opinion. Maybe it's always been that corrupt, but at least it was hidden. We are at least aware of the corruption more so than we were in the past, and I think there is more corruption. What do you think is the common denominator that might be responsible?
The whole fiat money system and the corporations that has spawned the masquerade corporations. Well, I'll tell you something else. If you look in the Old Testament, Solomon said, I've seen corruption, or I see corruption in the courtrooms everywhere. Now, courts have always anchored corruption. That's because you can twist the judge's arm pretty good, or maybe shoot a few of them and tell the rest of them, hey, you better get with the program. So courts have always anchored corruption since forevermore. But I think they're totally blatant now because they know the whole system's coming down, and they no longer care, and they think they won't be brought to justice. But every tyranny ends. The question is when and how bloody it's going to be.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Yeah, but
and it's a shame. It's a shame people even have to think about that and to some degree, and not just anticipate it, but hope for it. I don't want to hope for that. And yet, I am left to do so to some degree. They push us in that corner. In terms of the common denominator for me, The common denominator is political campaign contribution laws. When they open things up where Congress is now for sale to the highest bidder, insofar as that's true, they opened up corruption to a degree that is perhaps unprecedented in this country.
Well, for one thing, their congressmen are nothing more than administrators in the bankruptcy. But you're correct that it's the root of all political evil, campaign contributions, bribery. Mm-hmm. There are organizations which even specialize in the fact that you can contribute money to certain judges' reelection campaigns. They're called trial lawyers associations. Corruption.
Years ago, we talked to a clerk in Austin, at a clerk at Austin, and people, I went down as a witness. I wasn't a witness in the trial. I was there just to watch what was happening. And people were talking to the clerk, and the clerk had told them, how do you pick, if you're a defendant, how do you pick a lawyer to defend you in court? And the clerk said, well, the way it's done is you look into the political campaign contribution records for the particular judge, find out who's the judge that's hearing the case. And then you look at that judge's political campaign contribution records, and you hire the attorney or law firm that's up closest to the top of the list that you can afford. All right, you might not be able to afford the number one, but that's how it gets done. You want an effective defense? It isn't about having an attorney who is particularly knowledgeable or aggressive or whatever. No, it's about finding which attorney gave the judge the most money. That was not from someone running a radio program like this. That was from a court clerk.
Yeah, well, I brought home a copy of To Kill a Mockingbird when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
My dad practiced patent law as a patent agent, U.S. patent agent, worked for Carbide also. He looked at that and said, that's propaganda along with Perry Mason. He said, he who gets the judge firstest with the mostest gets the bestest.
And yeah, I understand that.
40 years ago, 40 plus. Yeah. Folks, I've gobbled enough time. Just keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you another time. Have a good holiday season. What else, Melody? We've got about 2.5 minutes before our next break. Something to jump in with?
No. I was just...
Well, then here's one for you.
I mean, you're right about those attorneys. I'll tell you what, the guy who works on my computer, my web person, he takes care of his son. The son has some issues. He's they chose to take care of him. He's a handicapped child. Yeah. He's not a child. He's 18. And they wanted to put him in the hospital because they were saying that they didn't have the means to take care of him, which is so untrue. It ended up costing the boy had to have an attorney. The mother and father had to have an attorney.
Yeah.
And they both cost about $4,000 each, so it costs a total of $8,000 almost, plus the time and the effort to do all this. And, you know, and he told me today they could have sat down for an hour and resolved the whole issue. But instead, they had to take it. It didn't actually get to court, but it took them all this time, took them with all this money, just to settle something that was so very, you know, just sitting down and discussing.
I understand that. There was a situation here in Texas, and for all I know, it's still going on, although I don't know that it's still taking place, but it was in the early 90s. And it was the heir of someone owned one of the biggest oil fields in Texas, and he left it to his nephew, and his nephew was a little bit unbalanced, and all he liked to do is chase wild women and get drunk. Well, they declared him mentally incompetent, and then the attorneys fought among themselves as to who should represent this particular individual who wound up being the heir to one of the biggest oil fortunes in Texas. And the lawyers, and every time the lawyer from one firm would send a letter to the court, all of the other lawyers got a copy. They all responded, and they got paid out of the oil fund. And then the next lawyer had sent it. And it was just a round robin, and all they did was loot the estate while this kid was kept drunk, drugged, and happy with, I don't know how many women they supplied him with, but it was an extraordinary scandal, and it was no credit to the Texas Bar Association. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And what shall we talk about now, Melody?
Well, it's hard to get
in the holiday spirit. I'd like to get in the holiday spirit. I'd like to talk about, you know, holiday music and, I don't know, some sparkling apple cider and turkey and, you know, I'd like to get in the holiday spirit, but it's difficult. When you look at what's happening in Washington and in the Wall Street, and sit back and it's just, oh my gosh, you know, hard to do that sometimes.
Well, we can
these people are not conducive. I think what we need to do is blame Obama and his administration and Wall Street banks. Blame them for a bad Christmas retail season. If we can tie that can to their tails, we may be able to make them change their ways. Maybe next Christmas they'll be more honest and more with more integrity and try to do what's right for the people rather than what's best for the special interests. What else do we have today, Melody?
Well, we can ask the listeners a question about Christmas if you wanted to get in the cheery mood of Christmas.
Well, go ahead. What, you have a question in mind?
Well, it was just something that I could bring up. Maybe what's special to them? They want to call in and let us know what's special to them. 800-596-8191. Or what do they want for Christmas? Maybe we'll play Santa Claus. What would you like for Christmas? Cheer. Most of them would say gold. 1900 would be nice. That's what we want for Christmas.
No, I don't necessarily. I don't. You know, I have mixed emotions about the whole thing because I absolutely believe in gold as the way to invest, and therefore, when the government knocks the price down of gold, it irritates the heck out of me because I know it's unjust and it's improper. But on the other hand, it allows me to purchase more gold.
Absolutely.
I get more gold for the buck.
Absolutely.
And although it's irritating to me, it bugs the heck out of me today. I have no doubt in my mind that the day is coming, I'm going to sit back and listen to say, thank you, President Obama. Thank you for driving the price of gold down to where it was so low anybody could afford it. Huh? Not just anybody has brains enough to buy it, but it's cheap enough where people can afford it. And so it's, you know, for those of us who have a longer perspective on this, sitting back and saying, this is great, great, buy low, sell high. The lower they push it, the better it is for me. Although not better right this minute, but I anticipate that it will be over the course of the next months and, who knows, a year or more. I don't know where it's going to work out. But
we got a question in. German newspaper Bild wrote last weekend that Russia stationed several Iskander tactical ballistic missile systems.
Yep.
Which are capable of carrying nuclear warheads along the border with Baltic states. The paper said it obtained secret satellite images and showing at least 10 Russian missiles that were close to the EU border. Mm-hmm. Do you think this foretells that Russia is ready to face the West with power?
Well, anybody who's got nuclear weapons is ready to face anybody with power. I don't care how strong your economy is and the rest of it. If you've got nuclear weapons and a way of delivering them, everybody pays attention. All right? You command a certain amount of authority. But what motivated the Russians to do this is Europe, and if my understanding is correct, in conjunction with the United States, is building a more effective air defense shield around Europe. And so the Russians and the air defense shield is intended to protect Europe from Russia. All right? They're not worried about it. They claim it's because of Iran and the rest of it, but it's ultimately because of Russia. And Russia says, we ain't buying that. You're changing the balance of power. And so if you're going to build a stronger defensive network, we're going to just move our missiles up closer to the border. And you're not going to have enough of opportunity to get to them before they strike, before they land, explode, and so on. So we've got both sides. The West, meaning the European Union and the United States. We could say NATO. We could say NATO, and that might not be exactly correct, but we could say it, and it'd be roughly correct. We've got, they're not going to back down. They keep on pushing. We're going to put up more defensive strategies. Okay. The Russians, they're not going to back down. They're going to move their missiles closer so the defense mechanisms, the new defense systems aren't going to be as effective. You know, one of these days, someone's going to do something completely stupid while they're playing one-upmanship or brinksmanship. While they're playing brinksmanship, someone is going to misread a signal, and there's going to be a catastrophe unless, you know, what do you do? I can't say that I can offer an alternative to what we see. There's a certain amount of human nature here where if somebody does something that seems threatening to me, I'm going to do something that seems threatening to them. And we know that you have to do that. Because if you're just going to roll over every time someone threatens you, you're going to get hammered. But when you start talking about nuclear weapons, it becomes a very dangerous game. And it's not just a matter of whether I'm going to take any abuse from some drunk in a bar who wants to push me around a little bit. Well, maybe I'll put up with it and maybe I'll punch him. Worse comes to worse, one of us might have a black eye or a broken nose. And that might give us both a good lesson on why you stay out of the saloons, and if you go there, you don't pick any fights. But when you've got two sides that are dealing with nuclear weapons, we're not talking about a broken nose or a black eye. We're talking about potentially millions of people. being vaporized if somebody does something completely stupid. And you look at this, you've got this extraordinary technology. Technology has advanced by light years, practically, in your lifetime and mine. But you and I have not advanced light years. You and I are still of a mentality that's perhaps more conducive to gunfight at the OK Corral than it is to dealing with deciding whether, you know, to launch or not to launch. We are, our technology is perhaps exceeding our grasp, our limits. I'm not sure that we can actually handle some of these things. And if we can't, and the reason that's an important question, I don't know what the answer to that question is, absolutely, but the reason it's important is because the technology is so powerful that if one man, woman, somebody makes a very just stupid decision, accidental decision, there can be chaos, just extraordinary damage. You know, there was a time, again, you know, you throw a punch, no big deal. Throw an atomic bomb, hydrogen, a nuclear weapon. No, God only knows where it's going to end. And it seems almost inevitable that sooner or later, someone will do something stupid. How long can we hang on to these extraordinary technologies? And we can, they're not just going to be static. They're going to become more powerful and more powerful. How long can we hold on to these technologies before we appoint someone to guard the button who is an idiot? And he pushes the button just to see what will happen. Or it falls on it, he leans on it. You know, it's not that simple. But just the same, I think everyone understands what I'm trying to explain here. Hard to look into the future. It's hard to look into the future without a certain amount of trepidation. You sit back and say, "Oh, I mean, this, talk about interesting times." You know, we keep saying, is this going to be an interesting year? If 2013 was certainly an interesting year, will 2014 be an interesting year? It all relates back to that Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Well, we do. We live in interesting times. And because we are in interesting times, one of our interests should be to try to protect ourselves against the kind of chaos that just might take place if some moron gets his hand on the button. You know, and it's not impossible, and it seems almost inevitable that sooner or later, you know, you put an infinite number of bureaucrats on an infinite number of buttons, and sooner or later somebody's going to hit the wrong button. And what are you going to do to protect yourself? Huh? Food, guns, ammunition, gold, silver, water. I don't know. You're going to have to make up your own mind and see what makes the most sense for you. But interesting times require an interesting response. What do you think, Melody? Are you stocked up? Got enough food and water and everything else that you might need if push comes to shove?
Constantly working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something where you can go and you just buy a boatload of it and put it away and forget about it. I try to be a little bit smarter in my purchasing. I try to rotate and cycle a lot of the storable foods that I purchase. I try to buy things that I use so that, you know, I have items that are stored that I can use in the future, but I could use them today also.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always constantly trying to think what is important. I mean, you can go out there and spend thousands and thousands of dollars and stuff, and they're just not important. You know, people need to take they need to sit down and make a plan and see what they really need and as they go along purchasing their foods and their water supplies and so forth. And really it is the same way with gold, too. Everybody's on a different plane. Everybody has different budgets. And I truly believe folks need to buy what's suitable for them. And in the world of the internet, you have people, and you have some of my competitors are out there selling every item that was ever made in silver. You know, like silver rounds, you could, you know, find a blade of grass and print it on a round if you look hard enough. Mm-hmm. And I don't get into that. I don't believe that's true investing. I think it's more for a hobbyist and, you know, just for a novelty type thing. So I do separate the three groups, whether you're a collector, whether you're a hobbyist, whether you're interested in novelties, or you're an investor. So,
well, I like to at least imagine that I'm an investor, not a speculator, hopefully not a hobbyist, but an investor.
People work too hard for their money to be a hobbyist. I mean, if you're a hobbyist, you may as well just go and buy stuff at the dollar store. And I'm not downing the dollar store. I go to the dollar store and get things. But, you know, it was used to, as a comparison. And so folks who really want to preserve their wealth, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way.
Yeah, and there's
a better way.
Yeah. It always, what there is play the probabilities, which is most likely to work, which is most likely to succeed over time. Again, gold's been working well for several thousand years, unlikely to fail in a significant sense at any time in the future. It's going to have its ups, it's going to have its downs. There is nothing else you can point to in Western society that's been as successful, that has a track record to match gold. There's nothing else. You know, and again, we talked about this, I think, earlier this week. Henry Kissinger, during the Nixon administration, was quoted by someone just recently, and I can't remember who. He was just said they knew gold is power, right? And they had to have, they wanted to get as much gold as they could lay hands on, and they also wanted to absolutely control the price of gold in a way that prevented other people from exploiting the power that's within gold. That's a paraphrase, that's not an exact quote, of course, but it's evidence that if the Nixon administration and Henry Kissinger, who, whether you like him or not, you got to admit, he's a brilliant guy. They got it. They understood. Gold is the real deal. And it was a threat to what the government wanted to do, and therefore they wanted to control gold, and they've succeeded to some significant degree. But it also tells you, if gold is the real power, or at least from their perspective, it's more evidence where you sit back and say, all right, they believed in controlling gold. I believe in controlling gold too. I don't have the resources to control the kind of gold that Kissinger and Nixon were able to, but I can control a little bit. I can put a little in my pocket. And perhaps you folks would like to do the same thing. If you do, give Melody a call. I'm going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, because I don't think I'll be talking to you until after Christmas. So have Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. Merry Christmas to you, Melody.
Merry Christmas to you,
Frank, our producer. And we're out of time. Thanks for listening, folks. Melody will be back on Monday. I'll be back Thursday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.